The message today is based upon an email that I got from a fella that I don't know. somehow, some way, he got my email and he claims to be a preacher or something, and I've been reading him for some time, and it's kind of troubling a little bit as to what he writes about. I could be taken off his list, but it also gives me some ammo for my gun on Sunday to preach on these things. But, you know, what I find is he's not alone in some of the things that he says. One of the things that I read recently was the fact that he can't understand how Jesus Christ died for unbelievers. Did he die for the sins of unbelievers? And he questions that. And so, you know, this is like the other preacher that I've referred to numerous times that believes that when you trust in Christ, you have to maintain focus on what you trusted in. That if you divert from that in any manner, then you lose your salvation. So this, in a nutshell, is basically about eternal security and about eternal life that we're granted through Jesus Christ. And so with that said, I want to talk to you about unbelief and the fact of how God is very forgiving concerning unbelief. Now, there was a time when Israel was in Egypt, and God led them out of Egypt across the Red Sea. So we'll just let this represent the Red Sea to some form or fashion there. However, he led them out through there, and his goal was to bring them to a land that floweth with milk and honey. And so it's a 3-day journey from this point into the promised land. 3 days. Now that land that he's sending them into is occupied. It's not barren. It is occupied. It's the land of Canaan, and they're to go in there and occupy it, for God promised it to Israel. And so Moses sends 12 men into the land. He sends them into the land. He says, go in there 40 days. Spy it out. Check it out. See how it goes. See how the land is fat. See if it flows with beautiful rivers. See if the streams are beautiful. See if the crops are growing well. See the cities and how they're laid out and things of that nature. So the 12 go in there. They spend 40 days. 2 men cut down a branch of grapes and had to load them up on staffs to carry them out. It took 2 men to carry 1 branch of grapes. And they brought the pomegranates and the figs, and they brought them all back to Moses. So they bring them back to Moses after spending 40 days there. 10 of those that went into that land said, no can do. We're not going. There's no way we can go in that land. There's walled cities in there. The people there are there by the millions. We just can't go take it. Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand, said, let us go in and possess it now. I mean, Caleb said, hurry up, let's do it now, let's go get it. It's ours, the Lord has delivered it to us. It's a done deal. And the people rose up against Caleb and Joshua to such a point that they gathered stones, formed their stoning committee, and were going to kill them. Really, they were going to kill them, stone them to death for bringing out a good report on what God had said he would do and give them this land. So God said, all right, you don't want it? For every day that you in there, it will be a year. So the little 3-day journey turned into 40 years of futile frustration. And God said that generation, 20 years and up, 20 year olds and up, will not see the promised land. Israel had gotten in such a bad state of affairs when they were in the wilderness. For instance, they murmured against Moses and Aaron. Now, when we say murmur, that sounds like a quiet little whisper. Oh, no, not at all. Moses, why'd you bring us out here? Just to die? Why, we'd have been better off in Egypt. Man, the food we had there was a spread of food out there. The garks, the leeks and the garlic and the roast and everything we had there was wonderful. And you bring us out here to die? And so they murmured. Also, they quit keeping the covenant of circumcision that God made with their father Abraham in Genesis 17. God told Abraham, Abraham, you and your seed shall be circumcised. All the male child, the children shall be circumcised, and this is a token between us. Those men were not even circumcised, keeping that covenant with God. And as a matter of fact, when all of these men died out, the first thing Joshua did before they moved forward was have the children, the men, circumcised. They were in a bad state of affairs. Now, we're not going to turn there and read it all, but if you're interested in this storyline, it's around Numbers 14. You can start somewhere around there and read about it when you get home. But what's really interesting about all of this is what I just talked about is encapsulated in Hebrews chapter 3. So turn to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, if once again, if you don't rightly divide this book, you will stay in confusion concerning the book. It's got to be rightly divided. Now, what the writer of Hebrews is writing here in Hebrews chapter 3 is an account of what I just talked about here. Okay? In verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. Condition. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Now, it's interesting to note in verse 17, the middle of that verse, he says, was it not with them that had sinned? In other words, he was grieved 40 years because of the sin of these people. What was the sin? The sin is at the end of verse 19. Unbelief. These people, when it came down to going into the promised land here and saw all of the situations here, they basically said, God is not able to move us into that land and destroy the enemy. God said, had you gone, I'd have just sent hornets in front of you and would have moved the whole crew out. I mean, hornets will move you if you've ever been involved with them. I mean, fly swatters just ain't gonna handle them bad boys, you understand? He said, I'd just sent the hornet before you. When you got in there, it's a ready-made city for you. How sweet is that? That's almost like a government program, huh? But he said he was grieved that they sinned. What was the sin? Unbelief. Unbelief. And so we kind of fast forward this thing. We come to the cross of Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. Now we're here in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now whoever wrote Hebrews, and I do not believe it was Paul at all, for the doctrine that's in Hebrews clashes with Paul, so that doesn't make sense at all. But whoever wrote it says that those that believed, and I would say it was those that followed Jesus in his 3-year ministry here, 3.5, however you want to do that, in his ministry here, they followed him all the way up to Paul's ministry. Those that followed and believed at that point in time are encouraged not to go into unbelief. And he warns them about that in Hebrews chapter 3. That's what it's all about. So you got Preacher Sunday in the dispensation of the grace of God telling his people that if you believe and then get moved away from that belief, you go into unbelief, you lose your salvation. Why? Well, it's true, Hebrews says it. There's no doubt about it. The Bible is absolutely clear that unbelief was a cause for one to lose their inheritance or their salvation. There's no doubt about that. What's really interesting about this word unbelief, the Greek word is spelled A-P-E-I-T-H-E-I-A. That's irrelevant. But that Greek word, as used in unbelief in Hebrews 3, is also used in Ephesians 2. Look at it in Ephesians 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll see where this Greek word, where unbelief is used in Hebrews, is used in Ephesians chapter 2. Very interesting here. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of unbelief." And I did it no harm by saying that. The spirit of disobedience. Why did I say unbelief? Because the Greek word that's used in Hebrews is unbelief is used there in Ephesians for disobedience. Unbelief is disobedience. And so we see that these Ephesians are in disobedience. So we see that unbelief is a sin. There's no doubt about it. The writer of Hebrews says that they sinned back here. What was a sin? He said, well, be careful that you are found in unbelief. In other words, that promise of this land back here is going to be carried out in a kingdom over here for 1,000 years, and the Lord is going to sit on the throne, and he's going to rule and reign in this kingdom here. Well, these, under the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is calling out those people for that kingdom. And so the writer of Hebrews says, be careful that you don't sin. What is that? Go into unbelief where you enter not into his promise. They could go into unbelief. But I want to show you what's amazing about the grace that we have today. Look in 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. You know, I guess I could be preaching a message and get you guys all pumped up about how God's going to provide this, that, and the other for you, and how, you know, God don't want you to be sick, and God wants you to have the best of the best, and all that's going on today. But you know what? I think it is so much better that at the conclusion of the message, you know something about His Word. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you something about His Word. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this man, Paul, the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look, if you will, in verse 12. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Watch this. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in what, folks?" He did it ignorantly in unbelief. Was Paul in unbelief in his life? Absolutely he was. Matter of fact, he proved it by being a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. In other words, he took those Christians before he got converted and was having them put to death. You know, when you think about the preachers that God has raised up over the years, they're a pretty bad bunch. I got to thinking about that this morning before coming to church. You realize Moses was a murderer? He murdered the Egyptian. You realize King David was a murderer? You realize Peter drew out a sword and was trying to chop the head off of that servant? You realize Paul had Stephen put to death and all of the other saints that were put to death were to his account? He was guilty of their blood? I mean, when you look at it, it almost looks like to be a preacher, you got to go out and commit murder. Like that's some kind of prerequisite. Paul said, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now watch, verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God saved the chief of sinners. You see, folks, in this time we're talking about, this dispensation we're living in today, the dispensation of the grace of God, the beauty of it all is God can forgive unbelief. Paul was in unbelief. So if that sin, remember what we read in Hebrews, that they sinned back here and provoked the Lord, and that sin was unbelief. Once they committed the unbelief, there was no turning it back. They were not going into the promised land. The writer of Hebrews says, watch that you don't go into unbelief, so you don't go into the promised land. The unbelief has power and authority over all people until you get into the dispensation of the grace of God. The sin of unbelief is forgiven. Once someone trusts in Christ, all manner of sin is forgiven. All manner of sin. You say, well, what happens if you move into unbelief after that? There's the rub with some. Well, let me ask you something. If Paul, before Acts chapter 9, was in unbelief, trusted the Lord, and was forgiven all sins and became the apostle, then if someone trusts the Lord and is forgiven all sins and goes into unbelief, did not Christ die for unbelief? Well, he had to. Why? Because Paul did it ignorantly in unbelief. And so Paul got saved. Obviously, that sin of unbelief can be forgiven. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I correct that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this always stumps people. They just don't quite get this stuff here, but we'll see if we can get through it. Verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And so they'll take you to verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. You see there, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. If you deny him, he's going to deny you. There's no way you're going up to heaven. Well, that's not even what he's talking about. In the verse 12, the context, remember context? It has to do with reigning with him. There's going to be some folks that reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they? They're the ones that suffered for him. For if we suffer, we shall also reign. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, the denying there is the denying of the reign that he promises you. Not eternal life. For the next verse says, if we believe not, there's your unbelief. A believer going to a situation of unbelief. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We are, there you go, Michael. We are part of the body of Christ. Not figuratively. Literally, and I'm losing my voice. And some of you go, yeah, I knew Bonnie would rise to the occasion. We are part of the body of Christ, literally. And if we reach a point, and we know nothing about persecution, people, our persecution is trying to get up on time to get a bath and get to church. These people back here knew a thing or two about persecution. They lost their lives. And some of them were driven at the end of a whip to say, no, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Paul says, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we go to a point of unbelief, we're still part of this body. He cannot deny it. He cannot deny his body. And so, if someone goes into unbelief, folks, look, unbelief has already been forgiven. Paul said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So if he got saved, and he did, then unbelief that he was in had to be forgiven. Therefore, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did die for unbelievers. The problem is, they never trusted in Jesus Christ to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. Trust in the Lord. Because there were folks that did forsake the Lord during Paul's ministry. Look in, we're in 2 Timothy, go to chapter 1. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So all of those in Asia had been turned away. Look in 1 Timothy. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. It's interesting to note in verse 1 again, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They're going to depart from it. Go into unbelief is what he's talking about there. But, folks, when you believe, you become a part of the body of Christ. And if you get moved to a point of unbelief, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You're part of the body of Christ when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you move from him, if your focus gets turned away from him, if your desires go away, if you go see, hey, maybe there's a different route to God than Jesus Christ, you're still part of his body. That is something that God took care of. Because you know what, folks? When we went into the word, unbelief, and we went to the Ephesians there in chapter 2, they were the children of what? Disobedience. They were the children of unbelief. Did you know that word appears all the way back to Genesis with Adam? It was by one man's disobedience. You know what that tells me? Throughout time, from the beginning of time with Adam, all the way through to whoever the last Adam is, out of all the billions of people, there was only one that truly believed in God, and that was Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's by his faith we're justified from all things. From all things, even unbelief. Even unbelief. So if you trust in Jesus Christ, you become part of the body of Christ by the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you depart from it, it never was your faith to begin with. If God saved us based upon our faith, day in and day out, we're all lost. We have no hope. We're doomed people. Therefore, it's by the faith of Jesus Christ where we're justified. It's his faith that led him to the cross to die for all of our sins, and it's his faith that delivers us into eternal life. And folks, you can't lose that. It's a done deal. God already accomplished it for us through Jesus Christ. So when we trust in him, if we get moved away from it, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. The work has been done. We're cleared. You know, in court, if you go to court and you're held on trial, let's just say for murder, that's always a good one. You go through the court process and you're found to be innocent by that court. You're set free. You know they can't call you back and retry you for the exact same crime. It's done. The court system, the judicial system is satisfied. Now, you can commit another crime and be brought back in. That's just our judicial system. But for that particular, that's called in criminal business, and I don't know a lot about it, but it's called double jeopardy. You can't be brought back in for the same trial and be reinvestigated on the same thing. It's done. When Jesus Christ died for our sins, the trial of our sins will put on the cross with Jesus Christ, and the ultimate payment for our sins is death. Therefore, Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so God is not going to have you commit a sin over here and going to retry you and find you guilty. You're already pronounced innocent. That's what justification means. Justified. We are justified by the faith of Christ. People say it's justified, never sinned. And that tells a certain truth to it. So you get moved away from the faith of the gospel. You get led out to something else. You're still part of this body. You're just not a functioning part, kind of like our brain sometimes. Part of the body, but it just doesn't function sometimes, if you know what I mean. And so we have a lot of people that have trusted in Jesus Christ and have been led astray. Maybe entertainment, maybe attitude, who knows what it is. And they're not contributing to the body of Christ, but they're still part of it. You understand? You see, there's a desire by preachers to want to maintain a level of control over the people. Because when you put people in the seats, you put money in the collection plate. There's always a connection there. But when you preach the grace of God and you give them this liberty, showing them that they're free from all sins, then you better darn well trust in the Lord that the conviction of their liberty will lead them to attend church, come to Bible study, read their Bible, pray, and do all the other things that are necessary for the body of Christ. And buddy, it's all by faith, let me tell you. It's all by faith. Because there's... It's tough getting up here and just going, you can go out and just live to yourself. And in essence, you can. But you're not called to do that. That's not God's instruction for you. But walking by faith and believing that God can raise up a people to represent Him, that's what I've got to live by. So I don't pull any gimmicks and go, oh, if you turn from the Lord, you're going to wind up in hell and put some kind of fear in you so you'll stay coming to church. And that's what's going on today. Keep them on the edge of their seats in fear and concern and not have the finality, the beautiful finish of Jesus Christ and the work He did for us on the cross. Think about it. Jesus Christ died for the children of disobedience. Therefore, when they believe, that disobedience, that unbelief was forgiven by God. So if you go back and you go into unbelief again, it's already been forgiven once. It'll be forgiven again. It is a sin that's been taken care of. The bottom line, trust in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's very simple. It's a simple message for simple people. Believe on Him for salvation. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the salvation that You have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that we'd search our hearts right now and see if we're all in Christ, that we have all trusted in Jesus Christ. And in the event there's someone here that is not trusted in Christ, we pray that right now they just humble themselves before You and say within their heart, Lord, I believe You died for all my sins and I put my trust in You. And we rejoice in that one that as part of the body, and of course the rest of us that are part of the body of Christ. So we can have this rejoicing together here, and when the roll is called up yonder. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.